When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome back to the last episode of Marriage and Martinis for 2018. I didn't mean to scare you.
Wow, you have a lot of people jumping off cliffs out there.
I hope nobody got upset. So, happy holidays. Happy New Year. Hopefully, I think this should be out before the New Year. I hope.
I don't know. Will it?
Yes, it will.
We'll see.
So we're going to talk, it's the new year. So everybody has resolutions, everybody has all that. So let's talk about health, right? Makes sense.
Well, health, diets, and exercise.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm Adam.
Who doesn't want our advice about a healthy lifestyle?
We have some stuff to offer, I think.
Maybe.
I think so.
Yeah, but I think people are going to be shocked that we do not epitomize the perfect image of health.
So I'm Adam. And
I'm Danielle.
So yeah, thanks for joining us for the last episode of the year. Speaking of which, do you have anything you want to add for 2018? You're not saying anything, so I'm trying to introduce you.
Oh, like, sorry, get started. Sorry. Yeah. No, you asked me to say something about 2018.
I did. Well, yeah, we're closing out the year.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah,
I think 2018 overall, I think it's been a big, important year for us. Mm-hmm. I think it's been a very, very emotionally draining year. But it's also been sort of an exhilarating year. And we've both, I think, challenged ourselves in ways that we never have before and took risks that I think kind of like put us in a category of like bravery that I think I've never been in before.
Yeah, so I guess you're saying we don't need resolutions because we've done it in 2018. So what could possibly be better in 2019?
I think I'm done making resolutions anyway. Right? I don't think that I think maybe a goal, like goals.
Goals is better.
Yeah, but resolutions, and we'll talk about that in another episode. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I also think that in 2018, I think through the podcast, number one, learned a lot about myself. And I think I learned a lot about like who my true friends are, you know, like who are my biggest supporters and mm-hmm. who is going to be there for me even when I reveal the most humiliating, embarrassing and crazy things in a public forum, and they're still going to like be excited to be my friend.
Yeah. Well, I also think that we had a huge breakthrough, I think, in 2018 because of this podcast, that we're a lot more normal than we thought. Like, we thought we were
I think the whole reason I wanted to do this podcast is because I knew we were normal.
But we're
willing to talk about it and be honest.
Okay.
That's what I thought would resonate with people. I guess it's how many other people are willing to also come forward and say, holy shit, that's me too.
Yeah. I guess you had
the Me Too movement, but
you
too.
Had more information than I did because you've had the blog for 2 years. So mm-hmm. you've been speaking to people for a long time. So for me, I'm 7 months into this thing and I'm first now learning that, hey, listen, fucking up like we do, but being in love like we are, and all the things that we do wrong and right. I mean, we're so much more normal than I thought we were, because I don't talk to people like you do, you know, out with your blog and out and, you know, Instagram and all that stuff, because I have no part of that.
Well, I've also been the person in my own life, not just the blog, but in my own life, where for a long time, people are like, oh shit, if I fucked up, I'm going to go talk to Danielle because she's definitely done something worse than I have.
Is that
and
what they
she'll
think?
Tell me about it. Yeah, my friends are always like, thank God that you're like so willing to, you know, because they'll be like, oh, I missed an appointment, or I did this, or I did that. And I'm like, honey, let me tell you what I did this week, okay?
Like, wah, you missed an appointment.
Yeah, like, come on. And then they're like, okay, see, I knew that would make me feel better if I talked to you. Because, you know, I'm just sort of like, for some reason, I just, I don't know, I guess it is what it is.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm, if for nothing, and if that's what we get out of doing this podcast, I'm happy. We accomplished something pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that. And I think that we showed, for one thing, our kids that, you know, we're willing to take risks, and that we said we're going to do something and we did it. And whether it succeeds or it fails, mm-hmm. they see that we, you know, we had a idea to do something and we, like, went through with it. And I think that's a big deal. All right. So anyway.
Okay. So health, diet, and exercise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll ask, as I always do, would you like to start?
Well, I want to preface all of that with, mm-hmm. you know, I fucking hate talking about health and diets and extra. Like, I fucking hate it. I think people are annoying. I hate people who, like, I hate those. I've unfollowed every Instagram account that shows somebody's six pack or somebody, you know, a woman, like, you know, bench pressing her four kids at the same time. Or like, I cannot. Come on.
This is
why do I need to see it?
This is about real health. Maranger Martini style health.
Yeah, I just.
Not about. Instagram health.
But I want to start by saying this is not my favorite topic.
Okay.
I do not enjoy it. I'm not good at health, diet, and exercise. I'm not consistent. I am by no means the voice of any of it. I am more the voice of, you know, sometimes I'm on and sometimes I'm good, but usually I fucking suck at all of it. So on that note.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're speaking for people like us, not this is the way to be healthy. This is the way to diet. We say this so many times. Excuse me. We're not experts. We're talking from experience, the way that we do things. And from what we've found, it's the norm. The way we do things is the mm-hmm. normal way of life. It's not reading in Men's Health how to
be. But I guess if I was sitting around with a bunch of girls, mm-hmm. that would be one thing. I don't particularly like talking about dieting with you. Like, this is not a comfortable thing for me.
And, I understand that.
And I think, you know, you annoy me in this area.
Listen,
if we were like a bunch of my girlfriends and me sitting around talking about diets and how much they fucking suck and how hard it is and how, you know, we have had so much trouble after babies and pregnancies and whatever, that'd be one thing. But talking about you, which we'll get it, we're talking with you mm-hmm. about this, is super fucking annoying.
I get that. Number one, talking to your spouse about diet and exercise and health, I mean, who wants to do that?
Mm-mm.
Right. So you're comfortable talking to your girlfriends. I'm comfortable talking to my guy friends. Like, I don't.
You would be comfortable talking to anybody.
I would, but it's
because you
it's,
have
it's a different, like, it's a totally different playing field. Like, guys and girls can't be on the same level talking about this stuff because it's so different. You don't think? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
so that's
yeah.
why you're comfortable talking to your girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't want to talk to women about this. Like, what for what? Like, it's a different situation.
Right. And I don't want you talking about my dieting because that's going to end up in some kind of a war.
I will not talk about your dieting.
Right. Because you don't know what the fuck I go through.
Nope.
So, okay. So let's just establish that.
Okay.
Just keep your fucking, unless you're going to tell me that I am a dieter extraordinaire or something positive.
Right. So we're talking about being healthy. and this is not a healthy situation, us talking about diet and exercise and being healthy.
No, talking about dieting and weight or anything like that with you is, you know, I always go back to the time when the nurse, when I was about to go into labor with Ian, and she goes, get on the scale, and you were in the room. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? You get on the scale, bitch. and I don't want any part of, like, right. I don't want.
Yeah, I understand.
And I don't think that you understand what I go through. So, all right. No. So let's put that aside.
Okay.
Okay.
Just let's, do you want to start? As I always ask, and I end up starting.
In what ways do you think? Oh, okay. So what? In what ways do I think I lead a healthy lifestyle? We'll start out positive.
Okay. But I would love to start out positive. I really would.
Okay. Okay. Well, the first one is something that's very important to me. I think you and I have for a long time had differing opinions about this. Although in recent years, I think you have sort of come to my side of the...
I already know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. Sleep.
Yes.
Yes.
More specifically, napping.
Well, it turns into napping because my sleep at night is so fucked up.
Yep.
That I will sleep whenever and wherever I can. Mm-hmm. I have three kids. One of them is still just 7 years old. I get the coming in with a nightmare, or I want water, I want this, I want that. Like, my sleep is very broken. You know?
He's a third child, 7 years old.
Yeah, just
so that's different.
But it's not even just him; it's all of them at some point. You know, I'm always, you know, and I get up super early in the morning, like before the kids for school, and my mornings are crazy, and I anticipate that sometimes. So, anyway, I am a fan of sleeping whenever the fuck you can.
Like, okay.
I always say, don't knock the nap, and I really think that people don't get. I always talk about Arianna Huffington. I saw her speak, and you know, she did the Huffington Post, and her whole thing is now she has this company called Thrive, and everything she does is about sleep. She thinks sleep determines how you are in every aspect of your life. And I kind of agree with that. Like, I am no good to anybody if I am exhausted. I can't function exhausted. Maybe more than the norm. And I was going to say that I think it's genetics, because my mom, my grandmother, I have cousins. Like, we all take sleep very seriously.
But ironically, it's the women in your family. So you're not all in the same situation. So it's obviously like a female genetic thing.
Maybe, but my mom, my grandma, legitimately, like, my mom, nobody loves sleep like my mom.
Right.
You know, like, she, when we were younger, everything was, I mean, that was one thing that in my house, you know, sleep was valued. Like, I would come home from school and take a nap. Nobody made me feel guilty. Nobody, you know, ours was the household where if you were sleeping until 12, nobody came in and was like, you should be productive now. Like, sleep was very valued. And my mom, you know, my mom.
Wait, refer to her as Linda?
Linda,
not your
yes.
Mom?
I'm sorry.
She's
yes.
Linda.
Because I think we talk about her enough.
Yeah.
She just needs to be Linda. So Linda, when I was growing, you know, my dad is very religious. He's a very religious man. He goes to temple almost every morning, synagogue almost every morning.
Your mom loves that.
Well, she kind of does, because
he's out of the house.
He's out of the house, right. And she can sleep and not feel bad, right. Because he's such a doer, and he's got, you know, his quote-unquote spielkas, which is, like, in Yiddish means, like, all this nervous energy, and he's so opposite of her. But, you know, sometimes he would be like, oh, do you want to come to synagogue with me? She'd be like, Ronald, because that's his name. Ronald, not even God is up at this time. You know, like, everything was, she really values sleep, except at 11 a.m.
But
at 11 a.m.
But before we even get to that, does anything have to do with this that she'll stay up till 2 in the morning? Like, just,
but she didn't when I was younger, I don't
think.
Oh,
she didn't? Because she does now.
I mean, I think she would stay up till 2 in the morning, like, when we were coming home late from a party or something. You know what I mean?
But even today, she's up till 2, like, on
I think
whatever
she has
website.
A totally fucked up sleep schedule. I don't particularly, like, I don't like staying in bed until 11 a.m. I feel horrible.
I would rather
get up at 6 a.m. and then go back to sleep for an hour or two, you know, at 2 p.m.
So she doesn't sleep till 11 a.m. because she's up till 2.
I think she just loves bed. She loves to be in bed. Yeah,
it's more about bed than
but
sleep.
What happens at 11 a.m.?
It's got to be something like Wheel of Fortune or Oprah.
Oh, come on. What does she watch? What is her show?
The View.
The View.
Yes.
The so View. For her, from 11 to 12, she is always up at 11 to 12. If anything happens from 11 to 12, she will know about it because the View is like, it is like her church. It is her synagogue. She will not miss The View. She's obsessed. And if you call her during The View, she answers the phone like this. What? What is it? But then if you call her at 12:15, she's like, hi. Right. Oh, it's so nice to hear from you. I think I hate The View more because she loves it so much. I think it's like almost an adult rebellion thing against my mom. Like, she loves it so much that I hate it.
Right.
So, or it's just that I find it so annoying.
Well, saying that you find it so annoying, there is one of the most hilarious Family Guy clips of The View where it's so funny.
It's like chicken noises
it's
or
chicken.
Something.
So they're
like, cluck, cluck, cluck.
Yeah, they, so they, mm-hmm. they pan to a couch of four women and they're all just clucking like they're chickens. And I guess you're saying it's annoying. Like, do you see it like that too?
Yes, I find it to be completely annoying. But I don't know how much of that is just because my mom worships it so much for so long. I don't know. It's been on for like, I don't know, 20 something years now, I think. And Barbara Walters, you know, was the one who started it. But yes, I find it to be completely annoying. Okay. But you don't call her during The View. So anyway, so when I was growing up, her answer to everything was go rest. You know, like you're stressed, go rest. You have a paper cut, go rest.
A paper cut.
You know, like just everything. You know, she just, to her, sleep is, and I get that, like, the feeling I get if I like get into bed. You know that it is, you know, like to get into bed. But for her, it's like all the time. She just loves the feeling. And so my grandmother, supposedly, who was also a amazing sleeper, supposedly when she was, you know, when she got really old, she said to my aunt, don't feel bad for me when I'm dead. I'll be doing what I love most, sleeping. So, you know, she was always an amazing sleeper too. Like, she just,
oh sure,
yeah. And my cousin and I am, like,
and it's all the women in your family.
It's the women. You're right. I never really looked at it like that. Interesting. But you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you want to say one now? Or?
But I look at napping, or not sleeping, but napping two ways. Well, sleeping in itself is a great, like, reset of your mind, a great reset of what's going on. Like, when you go to sleep and you wake up and you feel refreshed, it's kind of like the best feeling in the world. But with a nap, for me, like, if I take a nap and I wake up, I'm like, what day is it? I feel groggy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't feel good.
I agree. But actual nap is amazing. It's like being drunk. Like, when you're drunk and you're in the moment and you're like, oh, this is the best feeling. And then you wake up the next day, although I think sleep is obviously a lot better for you than being drunk. And you wake up the next, but in the moment, it feels so fucking good.
So you get like weird when you wake up from a
nap?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Not always. Okay. But there are, like, first of all, when I wake up, I'm like, oh my God, do I have to get the kids up for school? And then I'll be like, oh no, it's like 3 in the afternoon. I'm good, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. Okay. I definitely wake up feeling like crap a lot of times. But it's worth it to me, and I think it's still good for you. I don't think that has any indication that, oh, you shouldn't have napped. I think it's always good for your body to
sleep. Well, we need sleep, obviously. Without sleep,
you'll
die.
Yeah, and our society doesn't value it.
Are we the only country? Like, we don't. There's so many countries with, like, siestas and, like,
have you heard of all these sleep pod hotels that are opening?
I think
I told you about it. They're coming to all these airports. They're like these sleep hotels where you rent it almost by the hour, like a motel.
I love hourly hotels.
But I saw like a video about it. It seems kind of claustrophobic. It's like this tiny little room, and you know, it's soundproof. It has a light that you can turn on, but other than that, when you turn it off, it's pitch black. And to me, I don't know.
Fuck with that, because I know Japan has been doing that forever. Like, for American travelers who go to Japan, like, you can, it's literally stacked pods. I don't know how many, 4 high by 20 long. It doesn't matter. But you put your credit card in and you rent it for the however long mm-hmm. you need. You crawl into this tiny little...
I think these you have to actually make advanced reservations.
No, more like this a hotel. This is just because you've traveled for 20 hours and you need to sleep. And you crawl into this almost like a coffin and you crawl in and you sleep. I can't do that.
No, this is nicer than that. That scares me. And I don't know how much it costs or anything, but I do know that they're opening all over the place. And actually, I think Boston is going to have an actual sleep hotel. It's going to be like the first city in America.
Isn't that what you do in a hotel?
I think it's Boston. Sleep. No, you literally go for 2-3 hours. Like, okay. if you're there, you know, if you have 10 meetings in a row, and you know, you can take an Uber there for 2 hours in between meetings and just sleep. To catch up on sleep. Like, it's mm-hmm. not an overnight thing.
Gotcha.
It's more of a daytime. I mean, maybe it's an, I don't know the specifics, but
okay.
That's going to be the first sleep. City. Yeah.
Do you want to continue or do you want to go one for one?
Let's go one for one.
Okay. So we're just talking about how do you lead a healthy lifestyle, like the positive stuff, not like I do this, but I do this to offset that. Right. So we're just saying, what do you do that's healthy for you, right?
Yes? I mean, if it's possible, sure.
Okay. Okay.
I never gain weight.
Without the but, I love healthy food. No but. I love healthy food.
Am I supposed to keep my mouth shut?
Yes.
Okay.
We're not talking about the negatives. How do I lead a healthy lifestyle? I love healthy food. When I was a kid, my mom used to take a watermelon, cut it into like a basket, and ball.
Of course, she did.
Cantaloupes and strawberries and grapes and I was the kid who brought the fruit for my birthday to school because.
No wonder you got beat up as a
kid. But even today,
if you brought fruit to my birthday party,
right? I
would have put my cigarette out.
When you were three, you would have put your cigarette out on my...
I would have put my cigarette out.
But even today, I love healthy food. Like, for me, the perfect breakfast is like eggs and avocado and bacon, healthy and not healthy. We can decide. But I
don't think anyone's going to argue that bacon is healthy.
Not that it's...
I mean, I know it's like sides. On the Whole 30 and stuff.
There's two sides to it. Okay. But... It's not, I don't eat pancakes and waffles and French toast.
That's the best.
I go for the eggs and the avocado and the meat.
I'll eat bananas and strawberries on my waffle.
And I'll take the waffle, push it aside, and eat the strawberries and the bananas. Because if we go for our favorite ice cream place in the world, Thomas Sweets in Princeton, you'll get the Reese's, chocolate, whatever. And I get strawberries, bananas, and vanilla. Like, not that that's healthy, but like that's where I go to. I love the healthy flavors of fruit and vegetables, and like I actually enjoy it. To me, that's satisfying.
So fucking weird.
So, with saying that, that's how I. One of the reasons that I lead a healthy lifestyle.
So let's say that you like even if fruit wasn't like even if you weren't going to gain any health benefits from it, you would still want fruit.
Every day. I love it.
All kinds of fucked
to
up.
To me, it's candy. Like, when I eat candy, I'll eat it like a Starburst because I like the fruit flavor of a candy. Like, I love it. It's mm-hmm. like crack to me. I love fruit. Like, I love sweet, good for you food. So,
okay.
All right. But mm-hmm. without the but.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
So without the but's coming later.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, my second one is that I spend so much time with my dogs.
Right.
And I truly believe, you know, whether it's dogs, cats, whatever it is you have as your pet or whatever animals in your life. For me, I'm dog obsessed. I always have been. To me, that is I couldn't live without dogs. I just couldn't. And I'm the type of person who has dogs and like I feel the responsibility of they need exercise mm-hmm. and, you know, they should get to, you know, have their time during the day to do whatever it is we do. I take them to the beach. I'm always taking them on hikes at different parks.
And you nap with them?
I nap with them all the time.
Healthy for you and the dogs?
Well, that's the only reason I take them to the beach and the park is that they'll come back and nap. No, but I really do. I think that it's honest to God, really good for my health.
Like, oh, absolutely.
I think that I decompress. I am. I mean, if you and I are fighting or the kids are being dicks or whatever,
but
like
that's so infrequent. So like how often?
To hug one of the dogs and to, it really is. It's like medicine to me.
You're missing a big point.
Fucking interrupting me every second.
I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
I was in the middle of a sentence and you thought I was done. No, but, you know, and several studies show that dog owners have lower blood pressure than non-dog owners. Mm-hmm. Sorry, but it's true. Probably because their pets have a calming effect on them and because dog owners tend to get more exercise. And I do. I would spend no time outside. In the summer I would. But in the winter, like Ian and I just took the dogs the other day. It was 30 degrees and we went to the beach. I wouldn't have done that if I didn't. Like, I see people walking without dogs, and I'm like, what a fucking waste.
Yeah, like, what's the point?
Yeah, like, why are you outside? Like, what? Go on your treadmill. Like, go get a dog at the shelter and walk him. Like, I'm always
that's a good idea.
I think people do that.
Do people, just go? Oh, then you have to bring it back.
Right, but they still get to have the walk.
I couldn't do
that. Well, and they wear the Adopt Me sign so that on the walk people see them, and maybe the people will be interested.
I couldn't
back.
Do it.
Well, but it's better.
I would bring them all home. I couldn't.
I would too. Yeah. I would too. And our dogs don't do well with all dogs, so I can't even go and do that. But for me, I think that's a huge, you know, I really feel like that. And it gets me to interact with strangers, which I never do. I do not like talking to strangers at all. I'm completely uncomfortable about it. But I talk to people on the beach. You meet other people who also have dogs and you start talking about your dogs, which is a completely, I love that topic. I'll talk about dogs all day long. So we bond over our dogs and I meet people who I wouldn't otherwise meet. So in all kinds of aspects, they also are a form of stress for me. I will say that. You know,
the dogs are a form of stress for you?
But way more positive.
Sorry, Billy, are you here? He's fucking stressful.
No, wait, look at this chair that Augie ate.
I know, but Billy's in your face every day.
All right, but to me, the benefits far outweigh the stresses. Yeah.
Are you done? Because I just want to add one thing that you're forgetting. Because we're talking about health. Mm-hmm. So with all those things, which are healthy for you for owning dogs... It's very widely known that owning dogs, your kids will be less allergenic.
I think so. I don't know if that's a myth or that's true.
Okay, but I guess dogs are dirty in a way that expose you to certain things mm-hmm. that people who don't own dogs are not exposed
to. There's a lot of myths about dogs too, that their tongues are cleaner than humans and all that stuff.
Okay, but I think there's truth to that because... Like there's an old funny George Carlin bit where he said he used to swim in the Hudson River and they never got sick because they were exposed to things that other people aren't. Mm-hmm. So when you're swimming in sewage and shit and then you're out in the real world, you're not going to get hurt by things that are out there that other people are getting hit by.
Listen, we're going to do a whole episode on dogs.
Okay.
Yeah, I really want to.
That sounds fun.
And I could talk about dogs all day long and all the benefits I think there are for kids and for grownups and whatever. But as far as health goes, I think I really do believe that there are health benefits associated with having
one.
And cats. I'm not a cat person. I don't mm-hmm. dislike cats, but I would never own one. But same kind of thing or... whatever it is that you have, whatever companion you have that doesn't fucking talk back.
Well, I had parakeets growing up, so they talked back.
Right, exactly.
And there were no health benefits whatsoever.
I think a bird is the last pet I would get. Like, legitimately the last pet. I think it seems stressful, a bird.
Well, you barely take care. I mean, like a parakeet, you barely have to do it. You feed it. Like, you don't have to walk it. You don't have to, like...
Well,
you have to talk to it, but like you don't
probably have to let it out and like fly around. And stuff.
And then it shits all over the house.
Exactly. Right. Well, our dogs shit all over the house too. That's true. So what's the difference? Okay, so your turn.
My turn. So another way that I lead a healthy lifestyle is I really like to work out. I really do. I love how you feel after a workout. Like, you feel like you could take on the world. Like, you feel like you've accomplished something. You feel fit. You feel like you've done something good for your body. And I think we've talked about this before. I took it to the next level a few years ago, and I actually went and got certified and got trained in P90X, and I love working out. I don't work out nearly as much as I used to, but my day-to-day routine involves working out because, you know, I'm on my feet all day, and I do work out in addition to that, and it makes me feel good. And I find that to be really healthy for my mind and my body. So,
and you like to play that game where I walk down the basement. Is it workout or porn?
What?
Where I walk downstairs and I hear,
is that me or the video I'm watching?
I'm not sure.
It could be
but
both.
I legitimately walk down the stairs and I'm like, okay, this could end two ways. I walk in and he's watching porn, which I totally respect. I'll find and good. Yeah. Or he's watching these huge, like, fucking muscle guys lifting weights, and you're doing the same, and then I come downstairs, and you're, like, in your zone. Like,
look, what's a better release after a workout?
I prefer the porn. I think that's the best release.
Yeah, some of these videos that I watch, I now turn to mute because it does sound like
porn.
Because
you're embarrassed.
Yeah, because it does sound like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's legitimately like you walk down the basement, and you're like... Kids, just stay up there for 1 second. I just need to see if daddy, is it porn or workout? I'm not sure.
I'm now to the point where I know my workout, so I'll put like Family Guy on while I'm working out so I can at least enjoy what I'm watching while I work out.
Yeah, listen, when I'm in the zone, I love to work out too. Like, I am an ebb and flow kind of girl. Like, when I'm in it, obviously, I've trained for plenty of marathons and everything. When I'm in it, I'm really good. But
you get hardcore.
I haven't done a marathon in 8 years, so I am not at that particular stage right now. I can't be at that stage. I can't leave. The training for a marathon is insane.
Well, you've
I
done
cannot.
It.
No. I will do it again.
Oh, 100%. I am not looking forward to that.
See, but you say that, but at the same time, I think you like the way I look when I'm training for a marathon. I think the other stuff about marathons you like. The time,
okay,
but if our kids are older and they don't need me, why do you care? Like, you'd be happy if I was gone for 4 hours.
Right, if the kids are older, yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But even still, because you're so, like I was, when I was training to be certified, like
no,
it was all I thought about.
Oh, I don't know. I don't think I'm like that. I think I go out and I run, and the whole time I'm running, I'm like, what am I going to eat when I get back? Here's all the shit I'm going to eat. I'm going to have waffles and I'm going to have pancakes.
Waffles.
No, I fucking run to eat. That is it.
Okay.
That is it. Like, I am on the run planning my next meal.
Not the goal of like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go run a marathon.
Maybe the first time.
Right.
But I am the person who doesn't, like, yes, I have lost weight before and when running a marathon but it was so much work to lose weight. Like, it was so much work.
But this is about health, not about
being
skinny
and losing
weight. And
my dad, who's a doctor, doesn't like me to run marathons.
Right.
He thinks it's too hard on your body. He gets very upset. He's like, you can run a half marathon and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree.
I do too.
It's still better than when I'm training for a marathon. One thing that I don't do is I never smoke cigarettes when I'm training for a marathon. No, I'm serious.
You don't like smoke while you're running?
Actually, when I ran the New York Marathon, I remember crossing the finish line when you had the kids there.
Yeah.
And I remember being so bummed that the kids were there because all these people who had just finished the marathon had their Mylar blankets around them and were smoking cigarettes.
Right, drinking a beer and smoking
a cigarette. Everybody, you don't smoke really when you're training, but then when you're done, you want to celebrate. And if you're a smoker, you want to fucking celebrate with a cigarette.
Yeah.
And I, in life, want to celebrate everything with a cigarette, but I can't celebrate everything with a cigarette. So I didn't. I probably did the next day.
Yeah.
But, you know, listen, it does. It gives me 4 or 5 months. And I don't smoke much anymore. But it definitely, for those 4 or 5 months, I'm not smoking because I know what that's going to be the next day.
I think a few times while you were training, like, 5 hours later when you would come home, I was waiting for you with like a glass of wine and a pack of cigarettes.
Probably. Well, after each baby, you would come outside at 5 a.m.
Yeah, five in the morning, I'd come downstairs.
So I went 9 months without smoking.
Yeah.
And then you would come outside. And
no,
I would
come downstairs and be like, Danielle, hello, mm-hmm. Danielle, mm-hmm. where are you? And I'd look out the front door and I'd just see smoke coming through mm-hmm. the window of the door.
5 a.m.
And I'm like, there she is.
Yeah, I spent the next couple weeks making up. Listen, this is where we're health. Yes, I fucking love this. Well, we'll get to that. But I do love smoking. I don't do it very much, but
Some of the oldest people that ever lived.
I'm going to get to that. You're getting that from me. Oh, you're stealing my thunder.
I knew that before you.
Yeah. All right, go ahead.
My turn?
I don't know. Is it? Oh, you talked about working out, and I talked about working out.
I have like two more. Let me just breeze through them.
I have another one too.
But it's my turn.
No, it's not. You just did working out.
Oh, but it led to your working out. Okay, so go ahead.
I was just like reiterating, yes, when I'm in it, I love to work out.
Okay.
I would say 60% of the time of my life, I do not work out.
Okay.
Like right now.
Okay.
No, go to your... Oh my God, why do you get to talk about it?
Because that was my answer. Is that one of your answers?
No, because I think it's annoying.
Okay, so then stop.
I think talking about exercise is annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
So then do your next.
I do. I think it's super annoying. I fucking hate when people talk about exercise. Talk to me about hot dogs. That's much better.
Hot dogs.
Okay. I would say one healthy thing that I do, which goes back to the 2018 thing of figuring out who our friends are and who our most supportive people in our lives are, is I no longer spend time with people who don't make me feel good about myself.
Well, yeah, that's makes a lot of sense to be healthy.
Yeah, I mean, I think at this point I have enough people in my life, a lot of people in my life, I would say, who love me for me.
And like 60,000 people.
Well, you know what? I love my people. Like, I love the people in my life. I love the people on Instagram who I have my relationships with. We get emails, and I'm so excited to read them and respond. And, like, I found my people in my present, like, living everyday life and virtual life. And that the people who I don't feel like make me feel good about myself.
Like, why bother?
Why bother?
Yeah. Like, what's the point?
And what are you doing it for? And I've gotten some flack for it. I think that people probably walk around and think, who does she think she is? She didn't come to this or she didn't come to that. And, you know, I think that there are probably people who think I'm a bitch because of it. But it's okay. I'm okay with it.
But what do you care? Because you're not there because you're not.
I care. It's a little uncomfortable if you see them and you know they don't like you anymore. That's uncomfortable. Right. But no, I legitimately no longer put myself out there and try to accommodate other people because I think it's the right thing to do.
All right. We have a lot more to dive into. So let's stop this. How do we lead a healthy lifestyle and keep going?
Yeah. I don't think there's much more to it.
We both have more, but it's enough. So let's move on.
I think in some ways we're healthy in the not, stereotypical healthy ways. You know, like, yes, do I wake up and drink a green smoothie every day? No, but I think I'm healthy in ways that are maybe like unappreciated in our time.
What?
Like, I'm not healthy in the vegetable way, but I think I have a lot of healthy habits that are maybe unconventional. And, you know, emotionally, I think I do a lot of healthy things. I think I surround myself with people who, are like, make me feel good about myself. Mm-hmm. I am not an quote unquote Instagram healthy person. I am not a social media healthy person. I am not a healthy personality.
Well, are people really? Or is that just
yes, I think that when you look at some of these people and you see their body, you're like, damn, they have a healthy food repertoire. I do not have that.
Okay, but are they healthy in other aspects of their life?
I don't know. That's but my point. I think there are people who don't look beyond what they eat. That's what the ultimate goal is. How do I eat better? I think health and food is too fucking directly linked. Like, there's so much more to it.
Right. Well, exactly. Well, that's what this episode is about. This is not about being like skinny and being like about eating. It's about a healthy overall lifestyle.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of the health, quote unquote.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Podcasts and Instagram and this and that. It's all about fucking food. Fine, we get it. Let's, yes, eat some fucking vegetables. Okay, fine. But I think it goes so beyond that.
Yeah, well, that's what we're doing here.
All right.
Okay, enough of that.
Well,
okay.
I do.
How else are you healthy, Danielle?
No. I was going to talk a little bit about Janine Roth, who is, she's sort of like a quote unquote like food expert, that she deals with a lot of women who, like me, I'm not going to lie. I'm always trying to eat better. I'm always trying to have a healthier relationship with food. I don't think I have the healthiest relationship with food, but I think it's all because I'm always trying to catch up with what society thinks I should be doing. I don't think that is my own thing. I think I'm trying to always live up to the expectation of others. But she sort of says, Janine Roth, who she wrote This Messy, Magnificent Life and a whole other bunch of books that are based around, compulsive eating and emotional eating. And she's interesting. I think she's interesting. She says that your relationship with food is a microcosm of how you deal with so many things in your life. So if you look at your relationship with food, you can kind of look at how you are with, let's say, relationships or finances or your job or all these other things that, like for me, I am a very indulgent eater and I'm a very inconsistent eater. Sometimes when I'm in the zone, I'm awesome, but I'm in the zone 20% of the time. I think that's how I am with everything. Like I'll go 2 weeks without, with the house being a mess and the laundry not getting done or whatever. And then all of a sudden for like 2 days straight, all I do is like laundry and housework. And then it gets back to how it was, mm-hmm. which is exactly how I am with food. Like I will eat like shit for 6 months and then I'll be like, oh, okay, I'm going to get healthy now. And I'll all of a sudden wake up one day and be like, boom, I'm ready. And I'll do it for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, all right, I had enough. I can't do it anymore. And I
no, I'm not.
And I go back. Like, I think that what she says is correct. That it does. It sort of is a microcosm of how you live the rest of your life.
There's an 80-20 theory that works all throughout aspects of our lives. It's very significant in retail, which is what I do. We spoke about this before. Like, you could sell 20% of what you have and 80% won't sell. But the 20% makes up for the 80% that you don't. So there's the 80-20 theory that 20% is great and makes up for the 80% that's not. And this kind of relates to that. So 20% of the time, you're trying hard, you're doing your thing, you're dieting, or you're exercising. And 80% of the other time, you're like not, but you're enjoying yourself and you're satisfying yourself.
No, but that she would not be okay with that. She thinks that your relationship should be consistent, that it should be an overall life thing.
None of us are consistent.
I disagree with that.
Why? Who's consistent? I'm not. You're not. Who is?
You think we represent the mass,
people? Well, we're finding that out, aren't we?
No, not with food and stuff. I certainly don't. No, I have tons of friends. I think you can think of who they are, they live their life around making sure that they're okay with food and exercise and everything like that. Is their first priority.
Of everybody that we know, what percent of the people are hardcore, diehard, food conscious, fit conscious,
I don't think food conscious and fit conscious is necessarily linked with health.
No, my question is,
I don't particularly think those people are the healthiest people I know.
That's of everybody we know.
Right. What you're percent probably right. 20%
of the people? 20%.
Right. You're right. Probably right.
It's 20% is a magical number. Mm. The 20-80 theory rests with every aspect of life.
All right, a few other things that she says. Oh, also an interesting thing. Now you're going to like Jeanine Roth. Not like her, but you're going to be interested in her. She lost all her money in the Madoff scandal.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So she had all this, you know, she's written, I don't know, 24 books that have been bestsellers, and she had invested it all with Madoff. And I'm 99.9% sure of that. Double check.
Not 80%.
20% wrong. I'm more than 80% sure. Okay. But she also says that we're sitting in a constant state of like we're in the waiting room of our lives because we're always waiting for. Okay, I'm just going to lose that 10 pounds. I'm just going to, you know, lose that 15 pounds. And we're always raising the bar, right? So you lose 5 pounds and it's not enough. You want to lose 10 and you want to lose 15. We never actually sit and bask in the moment of what we've done. It's always more. What can we do?
So we're never satisfied with finances, you know?
We're never satisfied. We set a goal and instead of sitting there and like really relishing it, even in our daily lives, we don't sit and just, you know, she says you need to find the, you know, the exceptional in the unexceptional. You need to sit and just say, wow, you know, you need to wake up in the morning and say, wow, I just walked to the bathroom because I could walk. And I just took a hot shower because I have hot water. And all these things we don't do and relish in the moment because we're always thinking about what's coming next. You know, like what goals do I have for the day? Well, guess what? One of your goals is already met. Like you want to have hot water. You have hot water. You know, like we don't sit and really take it all in. Mm-hmm. And she says, you know, a lot of people for the new year, they say, I want to keep a gratitude journal next year. I want to write down every night 5 things I'm grateful for the day. She says, don't do that. When the thing happens during the day, stop, pause, and be grateful for it in mm-hmm. the moment. When you're talking about what happened, it's not the same.
Right.
You know, you're not in it.
Yeah.
So, so she says, you know, we're always waiting for the next. And I think that's true, too. And I think that goes with couples, too. I don't think we stop enough and pause enough and tell one another what we're grateful for enough. I think it's more about what do I want you to do better? What do you want me to do better? Like we're always talking about the things that we want our partner to do better that I don't think we spend enough time saying, holy shit, like, you know, thank you for whatever it is you did today, whatever small gesture you did.
Is there a middle ground there that could work? Like I always feel looking to the next. I'm very type A. I always have been. I always want to know what's next, what's coming next. If I accomplish a goal.
I don't know that's type A. I think that's every single person alive.
Okay, but if I reach a goal, like kind of I think what you're saying is, okay, great. I did that. What's next? But isn't that good? Or no?
No, because what she's saying is we're always in the waiting room. We're always sitting there waiting for what's next. Well, we don't.
That's life. I mean, we're moving on until we live to be 80, whatever, 90 years old.
Okay, and then you're going to be on your deathbed and be like, I was always waiting for the next thing. I never sat. Like sometimes when I sit with our kids.
Mm-hmm. And I was just going to use that.
Well, I sit with our kids and sometimes, you know, they'll be like, play with me. And I've said before, I don't like being our kids' playmate. That's not. But I do see the benefit of stopping and saying, oh my God, like I get to in this moment play with my kid. One day that's not going to happen. Like there should be that side of it too. And I need to work on that. I get that. But
yeah, kind of. Because you do other things with them that kind of offset. I didn't play the game with them, but I did this. I took them to the.
No, I think being in the moment is a huge.
But you're in the moment when you're doing those things.
Yeah, not always.
Really?
No.
All right. I think it's okay to always think what's next and how do I progress and do better. And
I don't, because what if you don't get there? Then you're completely devaluing what you've already done.
But if you don't get there.
I'm never going to lose 40 pounds.
Okay. So if you lost 5
right.
and you got there, you would say, okay, I'm happy.
I would say, okay, look, get me a cheeseburger. I need to celebrate.
But you wouldn't say to yourself, oh my God, I did it. I could do 5 more. Like, I can get to the next.
Why do I need to always be worrying about what's coming next?
Not worried, like excited.
Oh, no. No, I'm worried. I'm never excited about losing weight. Fuck that. I'm more like, but can I
not,
do it?
You're not in a position to be excited about losing weight. I mean, we're talking about health here, right? So there's a point where you can be overweight and unhealthy. Remember, this is a health and fitness and lifestyle
episode. All right, unfortunately, though, I think a lot of our society links health and dieting. You men don't even, I mean, some men do these diets. I know that. But you don't even fucking understand because you've never had to go on a diet in your life.
Can I go from
you
there?
You have never, right. I have been on Weight Watchers, Jenny Craig, Whole 30,
yep.
Atkins, South Beach.
And you've been a pescatarian, a vegetarian, yeah. You've been like a meatitarian. Is that a word? Meatitarian?
No.
Where like all you ate was meat? Carnivore? But not that you went out and like killed your own like meat and ate it. But like Whole 30 was all about meat and not.
Well, I guess you can do Whole 30 without meat to be very.
Yeah, you've tried all the. Like,
I've tried it all.
Yeah. So you've done all those different things. Mm-hmm. All right. So now we're going to get into a gray area here. We're not going to fight about it, but it's going to piss you off because this is what pisses you off about me. Mm-hmm. Okay? And this is not for me to say. I'm not like gloating in any way or I'm not.
Oh, come on.
I'm really not. Okay. Really?
I mean, how can you not fucking gloat about it?
But look, genetically, I can eat what I want. Mm-hmm. When I'm unfit, I lose weight. I get skinny. Mm. To me, that's like somebody else being overweight. Okay, so don't just like downplay somebody who's too skinny and say,
"I'm just gonna let you dig your own grave here." Go ahead. I'm just gonna sit back and gain weight while you talk.
There's gotta be guys out there who are in the same boat, like who have the same situation as me. There's gotta be. Maybe it.
I sure hope there aren't. And I hope they come and beat the shit out of you.
Really? Like,
yeah. Okay. Like, you'll legitimately be like, you'll watch a pizza commercial and you'll be like, well, I didn't eat the pizza, so I just lost 10 pounds. And I'll be like,
what?
I think I fucking just gained 5 pounds from watching the pizza commercial.
When we first got married, I was like 130 something pounds. It was ridiculous. I was too skinny. So I tried to get myself on the opposite of a diet. I went on like weight gaining protein shakes. Like I would, for lunch, I would have like 3 Pizza Hut personal pan pizzas. Like I was trying to gain.
There are already people on trains coming here with fucking torches trying to burn our house down.
But that's not fair because.
No, it's not fair. I
was as uncomfortable being skinny as somebody is being overweight.
Come the fuck on.
I don't think you're being fair. I really don't.
Okay.
And I think there's other people out there who could, obviously guys, who can relate to this.
Yeah, you and David Spade. That's about it.
You relate me to David Spade?
I mean, I think he's like he's a shorter skinny than me, guy. Right? Who? I think you're probably the same.
Oh, thanks a lot. Appreciate that.
What?
Because he seems short to me.
He's probably, what? I think he's probably short and little compared to like Chris Farley or Adam Sandler.
My point was.
What is your point?
My point is, I never did a fad diet. I never had to. I could eat Chinese food if I want. I can eat Domino's if I want. So it's hard for me to understand what you're going through. I can't relate to that.
That's a fucking understatement.
Oh, I'm trying to relate to you here. I'm trying to be like.
But I also pushed out 3 of your kids of however many else there are out there. Who the fuck knows?
So if we had no kids. Would you feel the same way?
I was perfectly skinny before I had kids.
So do you think if you never had kids, it would be the same today as it was 13 years ago?
I have no fucking clue.
Okay.
So, and I don't even care to even think
right,
about
of course
it.
Not. It's genetics. I happen to be blessed with good genetics where I can do those things. Tough. Yeah. So so I never did fad diets. I never did that. I did the opposite. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm blessed with?
Shut up.
A personality.
You have a great personality. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's what my scale says every time I get on it.
I disagree. I think you have a lot more than a great personality.
Thanks.
I really do. Mm-hmm. And you'll never.
Oh, Drew Barrymore is another one I love.
Yeah, I like her.
Ah, love her.
Wait, she's not.
Well, she's overweight. Like me. She goes through stages and she admits that. So last year, one thing that I loved about her was that she gained a lot of weight. And you could look at her and know, like, she's still, she didn't like, but go, she still went on talk shows. She still, like, she didn't avoid the spotlight. She didn't try to make it like she had, she fucking gained weight. She,
and we're turning this into a weight
because thing. That's what society does. And that's what I think.
So has anybody said she's unhealthy?
Okay. So here's what somebody said. Someone said, oh, look how much weight you've gained. A journalist said, you're pregnant? Like, do you want to tell us something? Are you pregnant?
Somebody said that to her without knowing if she was pregnant.
A journalist?
Right.
A journalist. What the fuck? Right. So she's like, nope, just fat right now.
Good for her.
Yeah. Hells yeah. Yeah, good for her. Yeah.
We just spent a really long time talking about how we both think we're healthy, and we should move on from there. And there's so much more. So I think, once again, I think we say this a lot, we're going to have to break this up so we don't, because it's getting really long here. So let's transition to just like, how do I,
and if it took that long to talk about how we're healthy, right. Imagine how long it will take.
So we have so much more to cover on this, but some of it I think we should maybe save for like fighting episode part two. And some of it we should do now.
Well, this has very much almost become fighting episode part two, because you could talk, listen, you want to call me messy until the cows come home. I don't care. Call me messy all day long.
You're messy.
Talk about my weight.
Right.
And I will fucking kill you.
Yeah, that's why.
Right.
What we're going to do is I'm going to say how I think I'm unhealthy, and you're going to say how you think you're unhealthy. And then we'll save how we think each other is unhealthy for another time.
Okay.
Right?
If you even want to go there, because no, that will be the same night. Yeah, no, I don't know. The weight thing is very, you know what I always want to ask you?
Yeah. No, who, I don't.
Who do you picture playing you when they make the TV movie about me killing you?
So who's
going to
be?
The Lifetime movie. Who is going to play you? Like someone who plays a dead person really well.
So who's going to play me in a movie? Like who do I think would play me?
Yeah.
Probably, you know, Brad Pitt or Ryan Gosling.
Mm-hmm. Right. Good choices. Okay. All right.
So we're going to say how we think we are unhealthy about ourselves.
Yeah, I'm going to breeze through this because...
All right, we'll go quick.
Yeah, I'm just going to say some interesting ones. I don't want to talk about the drinking and everything because obviously, you know, yes.
Wait, for you or for me?
For me.
Okay.
Oh, I'm not going there. No, listen, am I going first?
Sure, you are. You started.
I don't think I have a drinking problem. I think I like drinking a lot. I'm sure, like I've said before, my liver, I don't want to see it. There's a reason why it's on the inside. It's so that I don't need to know every day what it looks like. So I'm just going to, yes. Should I drink less? Yes. I should drink less. I should eat less crap. I love processed foods. I love food made in factories. I love, you know, Doritos and nachos and Chinese food. I love it all. A big one for me is sweet and low. I have been a sweet and low addict since I was a teenager, and I can't kick it. I cannot kick. Ooh, The dogs are playing.
And they're leaving Billy out like usual.
Yeah. I can't kick the sweet and low habit. I'm like a grandma. Like, I mean, to the point where we go on vacation and you make sure I have it packed because I will be miserable if we get somewhere and they don't have sweet and low. I keep it in my purse. I keep it in my car. I keep it hidden. I buy the bulk box. Like, I am a sweet and low junkie.
See what a great husband I am.
You mean enabler?
That, you know, I hate that you use sweet and low. I'm not a fan, but I know what it is for you, and I'm the one who packs it for you for vacation. I used to drink sugar on my coffee. I don't anymore, so I'd always pack my sugar and your sweet and low because I know you would forget, and it wasn't available wherever we were going. So I would always make sure you had it whenever we went away, wherever we went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I've given up. I mean, I think in some ways I am disciplined. Like, I've given up meat and been a vegetarian before. I've, you know, done the whole 30. I've, like we said, run marathons or whatever. It is the one thing I cannot give up. Like,
it's so gross.
It's so gross.
No, I mean, it's, yeah, I think it's bad for you, but it's like gross.
No, I know. I think it's gross too.
Oh, you, then wait, if you don't enjoy it, why do you drink it? Why
I mean,
do you use
I it? Enjoy it. It's the same way, you know, anything's gross. It's the same way, you know, smoking is gross or.
But if you smoke a cigarette, you're not like, you take a puff and you're like, ugh. Like, you're like, wow, that feels pretty good. Like, I like
that. No, but you're also like, I smell bad. And I don't know. Yes, it tastes like chemicals, but they are delicious chemicals. I'm sorry. I love it. I am legitimately, I love Sweet and Low. And I hate Equal, and I hate the Stevia. Mm-hmm. I'm only a Sweet and Low girl.
Right.
I'm a pink packet girl. So, so that's one way. I'm not great about going to the doctor and appointments and stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not consistent at all. I avoid it. I would rather do just about anything than go to the doctor. I hate everything about it. I hate the waiting. I hate the getting into the gown. I hate going up and checking in and talking to people. I hate canceling and then rescheduling and then canceling and rescheduling again. Like,
you just hate making the phone call. To even...
Yeah, but I actually hate going to the doctor, too. Well,
I mean, nobody enjoys going to the doctor.
I know. And then you get there, and it's so fucking annoying because they're always, like, 45 minutes to an hour making you wait.
It's so fucked up. Like, why is that okay?
I don't know. But did they get away with it? So that's it. Those are the ones... Listen, I could sit here all fucking day, but I'm not going to point out the obvious. You know, there's a ton of ways that I am not healthy, and so those are just a few, I guess,
okay,
more interesting ones.
So before I said we were talking about how we're healthy, and I was talking about the food and how much I love healthy food, but I would not go past the but, you know, like I love fruit and I love healthy breakfasts, but like we'll sit here and every night I'll order Chinese food or I'll order Domino's or I love shit food. If I could eat like shit food forever, I would be really happy. I love fast food, but I never eat it.
Well, you do eat it.
Fast food like McDonald's and White Castle and like,
yes, you
sometimes.
Do.
Like, I mean,
we're
how
on road
often
trips and stuff? We
yeah,
eat
no,
it
yeah. Or... If we're ever on the road, I mean, that's something that we do. But we could talk about alcohol all day long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
but we're not.
That's one way I don't lead a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, done.
Right.
Let's move on.
No
one wants to die tonight.
another way, I carry like a lot of stress. I kind of let it just sink. I don't deal with it probably as much as I should. Like whether it's work or family or anything, like stress is such an unhealthy thing for your body.
Oh, we did the stress episode.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a good episode.
Yeah. So we all deal with stress. Everybody has it. So everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah. And you don't like if I'm stressed out, I'll go, I love massages. I'll get a massage or,
I hate massages.
I know you hate massages. I'll go, I've gone to like the banya, like the Russian banya.
Yeah. We talked about
oh, we did?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember that. Hence the drinking. I'll go there and I'll sit in a jacuzzi or a sauna or I'll just like sit and like drink a cup of coffee or what. Like, I feel like you don't have any of that
no,
stuff.
No, I don't have any
do
of that.
You don't do any. You hate massages.
That's a good healthy twist on this. If I don't feel good or if I'm stressed, like if I go for...
I go down and I work out.
I go for a run or I work out. Mm-hmm. That's a huge stress reliever. Like, when I'm doing that, it's like sex. You don't think, like your mind goes somewhere, like dopamines kick in and you're not thinking about what you're stressed about. You're just in the moment and like,
yeah, you're in the moment. Loving. Like, I want to, when is this over? All right. I only have 30 minutes. Okay. I only have 15 minutes two times.
You're talking about sex or you're talking about working out?
Oh, well, both. No, I was talking about working out, that you're not thinking about it because all you're thinking about is how tortured you are.
No, I feel good doing it. It like brings me up.
Sometimes I don't feel good working out.
Yeah, that helps me.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
I'm literally just picturing being done and, you know, what am I going to
do? Yeah, okay. I love it in the moment. Mm-hmm. And I think also lastly, about the sleep thing, which is you went on for a while in the beginning about how that's your healthy for me, it's unhealthy because my sleep patterns are completely off. Like, I'll go to sleep late one night, early the next night, wake up early one day, wake up late the next. Like, I don't get the – you're supposed to get – go to bed the same time every night and wake up the same time every day. Like, that's – I don't – that doesn't exist for
me. I don't think that is a real – I don't think grown-ups really do that.
No?
No, it's not like – you don't have, like, a bedtime.
And if I'm exhausted, if I had a bad night, I typically can't nap. That's changed a little bit. But typically, I don't nap. So my sleep pattern is kind of shit. And so I think it's unhealthy.
I think most people's sleep is unhealthy. I mean, I think that that's probably as adults, that's just kind of what we deal with. And we kind of just get accustomed to it being part of life, that we walk around tired, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, that's our
and
country.
And that's one thing. That's why I like Arianna Huffington. I feel like I wish more people would be on board with that, that it's not okay, and we need to do something about it.
Yeah, we should move to Mexico or somewhere where, like, you can go home and take a siesta and, like, sleep and feel good
know.
And go back
really
to work.
Is that really still a thing places?
I don't even know.
I think that's more Spain anyway.
I don't even know if I could do that. But, I thought it was Spain. And I thought you said to me, no, it's in Mexico too or
maybe.
Something.
Maybe. It might be. I don't know.
All right. Doesn't matter. But okay. So that's kind of my big three, mm-hmm. how I feel like I am unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Answer one more question and wrap it up, or what do you think?
What else did we have?
Well, you asked also, like, do you have any desires to get rid of your unhealthy habits?
Boring. Obviously, yes. I want to be more healthy. Yes.
Okay. Me too. Next.
And unhealthy habits that we would absolutely love to do more of if it wasn't bad for you. I mean, I could go on and on.
I mean, let me get my scroll.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. All right. So I just have a few things about the healthiest countries.
Okay. Can I guess?
Sure.
Number one, it's got to be like.
Oh, you're going that way? Number one?
Ask the question again.
What are the healthiest countries in 2018?
It's got to be like Denmark or Finland or something like that.
So Norway is number 9.
Okay. So, wow. 9.
Uh-huh. And tied for first is Hong Kong, which has the highest life expectancy in the world. The average lifespan for women was 87, and the average lifespan for men is 81 years, and almost every other country has a life expectancy of around 72 years.
See? Chinese food.
I wonder why it's so much higher. I feel like it's not an easy, not stressful place to live,
but
right?
But don't they have the worst smog situation in the world too? Like, how
and they're
is,
the most overpopulated, right?
By far. Well, I think India might be one. Well, no, China's probably one. One of those
I
two.
I don't know, but they're doing something. The water over there or something. I have no idea. Japan.
Eat Chinese food every day. You'll
Spain,
be healthy.
Singapore. I don't think they eat the same kind of Chinese food you're talking about.
Trust me, they don't.
And U.S. came out of 188 nations, U.S. came out number 28.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Yeah, that's not that high, but yeah. I mean, for not being a third world country, you know, for being a first world country, we should be.
We're unhealthy fuckers here in this country.
Mm-hmm. Well, everything is supersize, yeah. You know, like over, not, where everything is.
Well, it's high stress, supersize, bigger mm-hmm. portions, like factory made, like it's mm-hmm. convenience, it's
yeah,
that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah. And then some of the oldest people in the world. So I researched some things about, you know, you're always trying to find out, oh well, how did people live so long, and you know, what did they do that they were able to live to be 110 or whatever it was. So the oldest people in the world, the oldest person ever was Jean Calment from France, who died at age 122 in 1997.
From France.
She's from France. And this is all on record. So obviously, like, you know, go back
of
in
course.
The day, like biblical right. times, people lived to be like 470 years old.
In biblical times?
I don't know.
Didn't they live to be 12?
Like, no, but in the Bible, everyone's like, he was 100, it was 475 years old when he had his third
child.
Was
like 20. No?
Well,
I never read the Bible, so I don't know.
You never read the Bible? Yeah. Did you really never read the Bible?
Are you kidding? You did?
I read the entire... the entire thing, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I'm not even Christian and I read the New Testament. I had to read it in college.
I haven't even read Dr. Seuss books front to back.
Really, there's so many good stories. I mean, that could be a whole other thing, right, but there's like a lot of good stories.
Before we piss anybody off.
Oh, but that's all right that you never read the Bible.
No, I'm saying, like, don't talk. Like, we shouldn't talk about good stories versus.
Right. All right. But anyway, yes, but in biblical times, people always in the Bible, everyone's like 400 years old.
Right.
Don't quote me on it. I can't quote anything. I haven't read it for a long time, but
well, they spread the water too, and God spoke to them. All right.
So she was 122 in 1997. She's the longest confirmed lifespan. She smoked
of course she did,
for 96 years and loved and ate chocolate and had wine almost every day.
So moral of the story of this episode
is have Parliament Lights right now.
Eat Chinese food every day. Drink wine every day, smoke cigarettes every day.
Don't endorse that. You're gonna get all kinds of lawsuits. We can't afford it.
I gotta start smoking again.
I'll smoke for both of us.
That's fine.
Let's see. No, I'm not. I'm not smoking.
No, I didn't mean it's
I
fine.
I know, but all I need is for my dad to call me like, I heard you smoking again. Okay, so back to the oldest people. Of the 100 oldest people in the world on record. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how many years back that goes. 94 of them are female.
That makes sense.
6 of them are male.
Well, they nagged their husbands to death, so obviously they outlived them.
Okay. Or they just killed them all.
or that.
Sure. Drew Barrymore would play me, by the way, in case you were wondering. The oldest person.
Wrong. You're wrong.
Why?
A thinner Amy Schumer would play you.
Why thinner?
Because she's heavier than you are.
So what?
So she would have to be thinner to play
she's
you.
She's pregnant right now. That's why she's not thinner than me.
No,
you think Amy Schumer would play me?
I think you guys could be twins.
Aw, I like that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm sorry, Amy.
what?
wait, what else was I going to say?
I don't mean you look alike. You're not identical twins. You're paternal twins.
Okay.
Because you guys are just very similar.
Because we don't have the same parents.
What?
I don't know.
No.
Oh.
You're twins that are not identical.
Oh.
The egg didn't split.
We're sisters from another mister.
There were two eggs in your mother that both got spermdited.
Spermdited?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Those kind of twins.
Wow, you... Sex ed really did well for you. I guess that's it.
Okay.
Oh, Jessie Gallen, Scotland's oldest woman, before she died last March at the age of 109, was blunt. She told the British tabloid The Daily Mail that the key to success is eating porridge and avoiding the opposite sex. My secret to a long life has been staying away from men, she said. They're just more trouble than they're worth. Amen,
yeah,
sister.
I agree. Mm-hmm.
So 109 she lived too.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. My great-grandmother, I think, was 104 years old when she died.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember that.
You weren't around.
No, you told me.
Oh. And my grandmother was 96, 97 on my dad's side.
Everybody in my family dies in their 60s.
No, stop that.
It's true.
No. No, we don't want that to happen.
You're gonna have 60 years without me.
You think I'm gonna live to be 120?
All right, you're gonna have 30 years without me.
30? I think even that's long. So I don't know. I thought that was funny that she said. I liked that she said that stay away from men.
So guys, it's still 2018. I hope this is released while it's 2018, but this is the last episode of the year. This is when we started. Thank you guys so much for listening, supporting us, and talking to my wife every day because I'm not there. She does all that stuff.
And maybe for the new year, you know, recommend us to somebody who, if like maybe their New Year's resolution is to listen to podcasts.
Yeah, that's a very big one. Mm-hmm. I think our New Year's resolution should be that I will communicate on social media in 2019.
Oh, honey, I think that is number 792.
I could lose
all the New Year's 100,000
followers as fast as you you've gained them,
right? And get us a bunch of lawsuits. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, but really, thank you guys. It's been an incredible half a year since we've started this thing, and we. As hard as it is, I saw your story today and I loved it. Mm-hmm. And I almost even like shed a little tear while I was like, what do you view it or look at it or read it? Like, what do you.
The story?
Yeah. How do you. What do you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, you view it, I guess.
You viewed it?
Yeah.
I'm so out of touch with this
well,
stuff.
Well, viewers, it tells you how many viewers you had.
But no, I really enjoyed it because this is hard. And it's just so you guys know, this is not easy mm-hmm. for us, and there's a lot that mm-hmm. we've tried to do here that doesn't make it out there because
I'm finish. A blubbering mess crying and
I did cry.
Yes, well, your share, you cry once for every 75 times I cry.
That's not true.
You're like 100
like 346
times. Yeah. I'm a crier.
I did cry
I love
twice.
A good cry. Also, let us know what you want more of in the new year. You know?
Yeah, we got a few of those.
We did?
Recently. We got a few emails recently.
Oh,
about
right. That a Romance Part 2 episode was requested.
Romance Part 2. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Pet Peeves Part 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So let's cut this out. Let's be done for the year. Right?
For the year, yeah.
Yeah, 2018.
It was
goodbye.
A tough year.
But an awesome one, too.
Yes, both. It was both.
Yeah,
it was very hard. It was a strange year.
This was our best and worst year ever.
The best part is a little. I'd like 2019 to be our best year ever.
Okay, but it didn't happen yet, so we can't say.
No, but
that.
What I'm saying is, I feel like we've laid the groundwork for the podcast and everything. I'd like to be able to figure out what the fuck comes next.
Yeah.
And you know, and know what the fuck we're doing in 2019.
That would
the
be
theme
awesome.
Of 2019 is figure out what the fuck we're doing. Right.
Well, that would be awesome if we could do that. Mm-hmm. So let's make it happen.
I
so
know, that's, but that's your
okay.
job.
Goodbye, 2018. Let's cheers. Cheers. Our combined New Year's resolution is to find out what the fuck we're doing. Mm-hmm.
And in life, in marriage, in parenting, and in the podcast.
And make it all come together and work for us. That's our resolution. I like that.
Sure.
Oh. No?
Yes, let's do it. I'm in.
Well, thanks for coming along for the journey and the wild ride with us.
Oh, boy. Here comes radio, Adam.
What?
You turn into this like serious like radio announcer.
Well, I'm trying to close out the year of our podcast and be like nice.
Oh, and be nice. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Fuck all of you. I'm out of here. Have a great year.
We love you guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And we're really excited about 2019, and it's going to be even better than 2018.
I think so.
Yep.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.